right, so this town is Fort Kent. There's a college here. It looks quite nice. The surrounding area is beautiful. But you can see today, all the towns are different, right? They all have a different economic standing. They all have a different look. There's a fort over there. That's why it's named Fort Kent, I'm guessing. So we got, what, 12 minutes until Tiger. Tiger.
You made it. You must be exhausted.
I made it.
You're up and down and all around today, huh?
Up and down all around.
Meet in person.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Nice to meet you.
Well, look, one of my followers said, you got to meet this guy, Tiger.
Yeah.
He's living a cool life.
Yeah.
And so here we are, Tiger. Look at your view. What are you doing for work, Tiger?
For many years, I worked in the woods. As a logger, running a forwarder, and at last, and limmer and skidder, and taught music for a little bit, and I'll do carpentry for the most part for the past few decades, or a few decades, two decades. Come on in.
Oh, this is cool. Did you build this place?
I did, no.
By yourself or with some friends, or?
By myself.
No way.
Does that thing work in the semi-dark?
Needs light if you got it.
I don't got it. All I got is this.
Yeah, I got it too. Okay, so you don't have electricity?
No.
No electricity?
No, not since 96.
No way.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Just to be simple, I guess. I don't know. Kind of crazy.
Okay, so this is how you roll.
Yeah.
You don't want to do solar?
I don't have much sun here. I got a little bit of a generator here and there. I've tried that before with batteries, and it just ends up being easier to just tough it.
So does that mean early to bed at night? Get up with the sun,
oh,
go
yeah.
to bed early?
Hey, for 14 years, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No way.
At 6 o'clock. That's what the hours are in the woods. But there's some, you know, my ancestors there, Acadians right there.
Oh, nice.
That's a guy from Van Buren right there, Roger Thibodeau.
Thibodeau, such a common name, huh?
Yeah.
You have kids?
I do. I have six. One on the way.
Seven.
Yeah.
Same wife?
Nope.
So it's
I was married for 25 years. That guy right there, his name is Francois Martin. He was a logger, and he got his hip crushed by logs off a trailer, and he died of what they call charbon, gangrene. He was 54, my age.
You're 54?
52.
You're in great shape, man.
52.
Wow. So you just decided you wanted to get some land, live out in the woods, live a simple life.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And the fam loves it. Do they love this living?
They did. You know, I think as children, they liked it a lot. As teenagers, it was a little bit rougher. And like I was speaking about my failed marriage, whatever, you know, it was hard homesteading. And towards the end, as the kids got older and moved, you know, kind of got into town or whatever, it was a factor.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
It was a factor. But there's some more family there.
Look, this is what's crazy. I'm all over the country. This is my full-time job.
Amazing.
And I'm constantly discovering new things I had no idea about. But that's the beauty of the country. You can go to this far corner of Maine, and all of a sudden you get into this different culture.
People are people, huh?
People are people.
You must see a lot. People are all...
Yeah, most people are great.
You know, I don't know. There's bears.
You bear hunt.
Oh, yeah.
And moose are a big thing out here, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I just had a permit last fall. We got a cow. I'm still eating on it. I'll give you some if you want some.
Okay, thank you. So this is the kitchen setup?
Yeah.
Just gas, right?
It's like Ted Kaczynski. Yeah. And this is where I keep my journals.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So do you feel like this is some sort of antidote to the modern world a little bit? It forces you to shut down a little bit, keep it chill?
It wasn't as intentional as that. My folks had started us off like that, with an outhouse and no electricity, and I was kind of accustomed to it. And I don't know. I just crazy, I guess, or just didn't need to watch TV. I don't know.
Do you have internet up here?
No.
No internet? Wow. No. Where is everyone right now?
They're mostly downstate.
Downstate, okay.
Yeah. Come on down. I just did a typical Acadian house. except I did three stories instead of two.
Right. I went to some traditional Acadian houses today. Yeah. Same shape, yeah. This is great.
This is where I'm parked, anyway.
So you do obviously all wood, firewood?
Yeah. I did a roof on the wood mill in town, and I get some wood from that and all the scraps from work.
How much wood does it take to get through a winter?
I got to fill that right up.
You just got to fill the whole thing.
Yeah, I just did that today.
It's winter and getting ready for winter, and that's part of it, right? Getting all your fuel.
Yeah.
You're doing mostly carpentry, right?
Yeah.
So you're building new homes or?
Cabins, homes, barns. Got two bearskin here.
What are you doing? You're just curing them or?
Just curing them right now. I'm trying to make a couple rugs.
So you shoot the bear, you skin it, carve all the meat off it.
Yeah. Can the meat, jar the meat.
Can it and jar it. How is bear meat?
Pretty good. If you take all the fat out of it.
Okay. And then moose.
Yeah.
How's that?
Very good. You can get a little sick of it, you know, like anything, but I break it in with some other stuff, you know, cow and pig and store-bought stuff too, you know, red hot dog. But mostly, you know, like I said, I got a cow last year, still eating on it and shared a bunch of it.
That's Nola. So Nola, you're gonna butcher what?
Yeah. Oh, come fall, get it back. Come fall. I'm gonna put her on this pasture here soon.
So you're creating all your own food?
A lot of it, yeah.
That's great. You eat a lot of meat.
Yeah, I've gardened, but you know, that takes a lot of effort and time. I don't have a lot of it. It always gets the weed, and I don't know.
You got goats down here? The goats are coming up?
I keep goats for keeping the fields sealed.
Okay, yeah. They think I have food, huh? So that's, I mean, you're out, Fort Kent is a nice place. It was nice cruising through. You're literally 12 minutes away.
Yeah, Cheater's Paradise.
Cheater's Paradise, what's that?
The worst of both worlds.
Right, because you're like...
There's a hospital close, there's a university, which I went to.
Oh, nice.
My daughters went to, you know, school, high school. So it's a small community. It's part of that Acadian expulsion, and they settled here, what they call Fish River. They changed it to Fort Kent, but after Governor Kent, but it was called Fish River. And,
okay.
And our people weren't getting on the boats. Like, yo, you want us to go on the boat to get to Louisiana? We'll be there in the morning. They didn't go. They ran. Sorti dans la forêt, you know, right? Ran through the woods. And they came down, came actually upriver this way and settled this valley here. And here we are yet.
So luck of the draw who your ancestors were, because you would be in Louisiana.
Yeah. You asked me if I felt Cajun or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, to me, it's the same people, just... a different migration. The Acadians were first, and the Quebecois were just after them.
Yeah.
They didn't have the big Prince Edward Island, L'Acadie expulsion.
Right.
But it's the same names and the same family. So, I mean, Acadia, you know, Acadia's a big thing there. They make signs and parties and,
yeah,
you know, things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just don't think, well,
I'm Acadian,
you know.
Right.
I just feel... just French.
Gotcha.
But it's, you know, the same people. My mother's side was all Thibodeaux and Karens, and I'm related to everybody I know.
Around here.
Yeah. About five generations back, six generations back. They're all distant, really related.
So is this area changing much?
We're not having like the mass migration, right? Yet.
As in people moving in?
Yeah. But since COVID, you know, and since people, you know, it's cheaper to buy land and a house. And I've seen, you know, people come and go. But there's people here that moved here in the 60s, just like us here. You know, they were like, oh, man, back to the landers. And you can buy my dad bought 80 acres in St. Francis, I think, for $4,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the early 70s and live there.
So it attracts the people that just want to get away from everything?
Yeah. And then they leave. Like you know, I think it takes a lot to push through some winters here.
You got to deal with isolation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just, like, quickly go to Home Depot there, you know?
Yeah.
I got to walk up in the wintertime, you know, ski up, ski down.
Oh, really? Up the driveway? You don't plow it?
No. I used to, when I had my kids going to school and stuff, you know, I'd plow it. But, hey, people would ask me, how long does it take you to plow that? And I'd be like, four beers. I don't know how long it takes. But like I said, I was kind of raised like that, so I was kind of broke to it. It's not really very intentional. It's just my ancestors, my grandparents, they lived like that. And it just seemed easy for me to do it as opposed to paying rent and getting a mortgage for 30 years or, you know. My brother lived on the other side of the mountain. He had 40 acres there. He built a house and a barn and
okay.
started out his family. Time will tell, but like I said, I've had some family strife from it, you know?
Right.
I have had family strife from it, like being isolated, being out, and all kinds of issues with it, but I can't look back. You just gotta look ahead. Time will tell if I made the right choice. I mean,
it'd be tough to live in the suburbs after this.
Oh yeah, I like to piss outside.
It's interesting. So your grandfather went to World War II.
Yeah.
Fought for the Americans because he was American.
Yeah, he was.
But didn't speak any English.
No. Well, I mean, he did, but he got better after, and they gave him his GED. But he has a story, you know, he was telling his father he wanted to go with his brothers and go, and he was too young, but he went. You know, how stories get distorted or whatever. And
of course.
You know what I mean? Myth, legend, but he said they were filling sandbags in Okinawa. He said they had to wear big, some kind of sock because they're worried about snakes, you know?
Oh,
but
yeah.
There were no snakes, but they just thought it was all snake ridden over there in those islands and Marshall Islands or whatever. And he said that he had a shirt off with a bunch of guys and that they were filling sandbags making, you know? And he said he was sitting on the sandbag and he heard, he's like, you hear that? Yeah, I do hear that. What is that? He said, I looked down and there was sand coming right out of the sandbag, right between my legs.
Wow.
You know, and he said, I rolled back. And before you knew it, there was a guy from Frenchville by the name of Lamar.
Uh-huh.
And he was on his platoon or his company. He said, there's a little short guy named Lamar from Frenchville.
Uh-huh.
And they sent him out and he got that sniper, that Japanese sniper. So I was this far away from not existing over here.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that he'd ever, even pictures as a farmer and a horse logger, you know, and I can't imagine that he would, you know, rally for the United States or whatever. But yeah, he's a Purple Heart soldier for World War II. My grandfather and all five of his brothers, the Thibodeaux from Van Buren, they all went. And all came back. And there was a lot of jobs that were gone because a woman took them over, you know, and it was kind of like, what am I going to do, you know? I can't imagine, but they had big families. My Pepe Thibodeaux, he had 14 brothers and sisters. Two died, Leger and Mona died of polio in the early 1900s.
This is your well set up?
That's a hot tub.
Oh, nice.
Got a sauna in there, too, and that's the hot tub.
Just warm it up in the sauna.
Yeah. There was a fella, one of my best friends named Ernie Ford. His father was named Aimé Ford. They lived down that way. This is what they call Concession Violette, Violet Settlement. And they lived down that way. And he owned almost a mile by a mile, okay?
Uh-huh.
18 children. And think of someone that's poor. Okay, picture them. Okay, that's how poor they were. And that's, they still were able to have two teams of horses, eight cows, all those children, fed them all, make cheese, milk, you know, all their beef, and they were dirt poor, you know? And that's how much, it's $300,000 to build a house these days. I was doing a roof the other day in Frenchville, and the woman, I could hear her in French saying to her husband, how come this box of nails was $140? And I said to her, when did you build this house, madame? And she said, 1966. I said, can you imagine building it now? With a box of nails, $200? You know?
Being in construction, how are the prices right now? It's still going up a lot?
Skyrocketing. Yeah.
Okay.
Plywood, all insulation.
Everything, huh?
Yeah. I tend to stay away from that. I mostly just do timber framing and rough sawn lumber from local mills, but yeah.
So you're building quality stuff.
Old school stuff, yeah.
Old school.
Yeah.
Like your house.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had that huge barn in St. Francis, I'd go in there and see all the barn swallows and raccoons and all the hand-hewn beams. And at some point I went in there, well, as an older man, and I'd been like, well, if these uneducated farmers can build this, I can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Definite. And just copied them, essentially.
Do you do it alone or you got a crew?
I don't have any crew. I got one fellow named Jim that works with me. My brother worked for me for many years. My son, Isaiah, worked with me for many years.
All right. Do you want more business?
Yeah.
I'll ship them out.
Do you have a website?
No.
Just a phone number.
Just word of mouth. And
just word of mouth. Okay. Yeah, phone. I wouldn't want to leave your phone number on the internet. No. You'll get all types calling you.
But that's all Maine there. That goes out towards...
That's where I came from.
Yeah. Cross Lake that way. That way more is towards Frenchville. But this side right here is where it divides, and that's Canada there. You can't plant a garden until like the second week of June because you'll get a frost, guaranteed. And then in August, as soon as you see goldenrod out, you got about 6 to 8 weeks before your first frost. So when I first started working in the woods, or my friend Bart Plord was being a forester in the woods, he's like, I can't do it. There's no way. There's no way. The bugs are too bad. I'll never be able to do it. But towards early July, they slow down. The nights are cooler. They'll alight on you and bother you, but they won't attack you.
Yeah, they're not really biting.
In my machine, I used to keep birch bark. Light that on, light that, and put deep right on, around my boot like that, because they'd climb up your pants, even inside the machine, you know. But around July, I find they stop. But I tell you, Pete, the past 5-6 years, like, summer gets extended. So you'll have September be like August. August is like July. July is like June. It's just kind of pushed. I call it carpenter's dream. You can get one more job in before it gets too bad. But
is the spring coming later, or is the spring coming at the same time?
Past few years, I always tell everyone, second week in May, you're not going to have any snow. It'll disappear. But it doesn't feel like it.
So you have snow here until the second week of May?
Yeah.
And then when's the first frost come usually?
Late August.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So really... So
it's zone one for planting.
Really short growing season.
Yeah. You got to savor it. You got to savor the summers.
Which is like 2 months.
Go canoeing, fishing, get out, you know. Oh, I'm just going to go to bed. Nope. I'm going to First Lake Waller Rass. Or I'm going to... You got to go enjoy it, you know, while you can, because... Like I said, there's two seasons up here, winter and getting ready for winter. You know, skiing and bad skiing.
Your wife's brother?
Is a twin.
Okay.
We just lost him maybe 2 days ago.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sorry. Killed.
Thank you. He was killed in a car accident in the middle of the night.
Oh, man. You
know, and hit. Life's not gonna be the same for her. She was saying, you know, I've never existed without him, you know.
Oh, man.
And she's pretty vacant right now. She was gonna be here, but she's so, you know, like,
understandable. And,
you know, but you should have seen all the people brought them food and came by and said heartfelt things, and, you know, which isn't easy for a lot of people to do, say heartfelt things. You know?
Right.
But I have seen a lot of generosity and a lot of, well, I'll tell you a story. I had just moved on here, bought it with a little bit of money down, and I didn't have any Thanksgiving dinner with two kids and my wife. And I said, well, I'm gonna go hunting, you know. I'll go partridge hunting and get some partridge for Thanksgiving. And I went all the way out back towards my brothers and down around, and all I seen was a black weasel. I was like, well, I can't bring a black weasel home for Thanksgiving. And I came home, and as you can imagine, defeated and not really providing. And I opened up the door and I could smell turkey or like a meal.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that? How'd you get that? Where? And she was cooking a turkey and an apple pie, and it was snowing, you know, it was snow then. And I was like, how'd you get that? She said, Norman Levesque brought that over. Norman Levesque said he figured he didn't have that starting out right here. And he came and brought that for me.
It still rolls like that up here. That's great.
Yeah. I was writing down some shit for work.
Oh, nice.
Caught the baseball tuning. A lot of Cajun, Acadian stuff is in that tuning. I find that Cajun ones they got that vibe to it, huh? But us is more, and that's we use those tunings. That's that Cajun one. But around here, we're more like.
Nice.
You know.
That was so good.
This old tune, that's called Riddle du Ponzu.
You're playing somewhere because I see the dollar bills. Where do you play?
Well, I play at a brewery. Play downstate sometimes.
Brewery where?
It's called First Mile. It's on Marcus Street.
Fort Kent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll play there.
So people can find you there?
Yeah. That I go down to Benton near Waterville, play down there. Yeah, the Benton Mountain Fiddle Festival there, and just mostly some dive bars or whatever.
And that's just passed through the generations.
Yeah, I had an uncle named Romeo Thibodeau who played, and I grew up. It was gone, Peter, it was gone, but there was a whiff in the air.
Okay. You know,
it was still there. Oh, we used to take all the furniture out and put it on the porch, and we'd all dance, you know, and all night. And I was like, well, why don't we do that anymore? We're just watching TV in the background and eating tortillas, you know? So I kind of learned myself how to do it.
You're having another kid?
Yeah. I had one, Elizabeth, that passed away at, I don't know, 3-4 months. And then I got her pregnant again. This one's sticking. And I like to bike. My days off there, I like to go on treks there, like with the stupid shoes and the pants there, you know what I mean? And like to play music. And I know from having 6 kids by 33 that those times are more few and far between. My brother, Josh, he has 9, okay? And he's not a Mormon or nothing or whatever, but he's got 9. And we built these houses here. Okay? He said, do you notice in the houses we built don't have doors? And I was like, yeah. Didn't put any doors except the bathroom. And there's a reason for that, you know? Kind of open and inclusive. And I mean, not that they had privacy there, you know, I'm not like a giant commune, okay? But just didn't have doors. And, they had partitions or whatever. But he was saying, you know, there's a reason for that. And he said, you ever notice that we got big families? I said, yeah, I noticed. And I said, I don't know why I'm so family driven instead of just whatever, you know. And he said, I feel the urge to run away all the time. I feel the urge to go. And my wife, Nina, needs me. But I just want to go, you know. And he said, by yourself, you can always flee. By yourself, you can always be faster. But with a family, you can go further. And he's right. Every father feels like that. Like, it gets crazy in the house. It's like, I just gotta get the fuck out of here. You know, or I've heard women say, oh, if I could have found my checkbook, I'm gone, you know. But obviously you don't do it, but it's just like stress, just like jobs you've had or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah? You know, you kidding me? You know, it just gets kind of crazy. But I've seen a lot of death in the woods, and I've seen a lot of death I just spoke of Liz's brother, Pike, and I've done CPR on a kid one time. His spinal fluid was coming out of my nose. You know, I just take freedoms for myself, and I don't live like there's no tomorrow or whatever, you know, but it's just, this is what we got here. And like you're making the most of it. You know, you could be bagging groceries or drinking yourself to death or no responsibilities. But I don't know, I'm not preaching that or whatever, but I find, like I said, my papa had 14 brothers and sisters. You think his parents could quietly make love on a Wednesday night? You know what I mean?
They did it 14 times, that's okay, a fact. Okay,
14 times. But just do it. I don't know. I just, you know, there was a time I told you I was teaching for about 8 years, and someone asked me, like, how can you come out of the woods for almost 20 years and be a teacher? And I was like, well, I just didn't want to live my life saying, boy, Tiger, he could pile wood. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that. My son's an awesome photo operator, and most of my best friends are loggers, and they're really raising families, and, you know, it makes purpose for it. But I'm just saying, like, you're, like you alluded to, Peter, you're making impact, you know, the best you can. Can't just live for ourselves.
Tiger's saying he can't let me go without him giving me something.
Just a couple mementos, all right? Here's a moose tooth.
Oh, you could probably bring that
on the flight, and this is a maple tap.
Oh, and thank you.
Here's one of my great grandmother's marbles.
Oh, you're a Tiger. Yeah. Tiger. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, brother.
I got a bunch of marbles. I got a bunch of them. Don't worry.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. All I got is a hat. Can I give you a hat?
Yeah, give me a hat.
I don't have anything special. I don't travel with you.
I hope I can see you on some bike trip or something.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to ride with you one day.
That's like the song. Dum da dum da dum. I'm back alone. Dum da dum. With nobody else.
But all right, 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 right.
Back alone, you know. My friend Fraser, he kind of got me into it. Bart got me into it. We just kind of go. But most of the time, I find myself alone on it. Like you said, just thinking.
It's meditative.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wear these.
Is this your business here?
This is the logo to the channel.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you think, Tiger?
I like it.
It fits.
Yeah, it's just right. I'll keep the bugs off. I'll put some DEET on it. God bless you, man.
All right, brother. Yeah.
Here, I hope you travel safe.
Yeah.
And, hope I appreciate you
bringing me up here.
Yeah. Thanks for trying to dig me out, man. Hope you don't feel like I'm running my mouth and showing off.
Not at all.
You know?
Just interesting things you're saying. It was awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. Drive safe. Enjoy Cross Lake, okay? God bless you. Hope I see you again.